Yes, sir.
Acts chapter 4 tonight, if you have your Bibles. Acts chapter number 4. Appreciate the song. I said this morning, but I mean it. I appreciate these young people. They want to do something. And I'm glad of that. And Jacob, you can go home tonight. Mark on your calendar the night that Kant died. He's been telling me. He was playing this morning when I came in early. He was on the piano when I came in, and he played his song for me, and of course did a good job, great job, and kept encouraging him to sing. I think his dad's been encouraging him to sing, and he's been using an old people term. I can't. And I just ask him, and this is just, and I think it's, the reason I'm sharing this is because it's relevant for all of us if we'll just take it to heart. I said, Jacob, you said that God gave you that song, right? And he said, absolutely. I said, that's great. But why in the world would you trust something that God gave you to somebody else? Nobody can sing it. If God gave it to you, nobody can sing it like you can sing it. And that's the same way with all of us. Why would you want to trust anything that God has given you to somebody else? I think we all are guilty of it sometimes, but don't be. Don't be. Whatever God has given you, your testimony, whatever it is, your message, you share it. You use your talent. And I appreciate all of our young people and everybody who takes part. Acts chapter number 4 tonight. I've been kind of torn on what I want to read. I hate to read a lot of scripture and then not get back to it. I'm going to focus, I guess. We'll just focus on one verse and then I'll go back and get other parts of it. Stand with me if you will and would and can. Acts chapter 4, verse number 13. This is the verse that's been on my mind for quite some time. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Father, I thank you tonight. I thank you tonight for who you are, and I thank you for the promises that we have through you and in you. And this evening, Father, I ask that you will cleanse me of my sin. I want to be able to be effective for you tonight. I want to be able to speak and hear your voice and speak the things that you would have me to speak tonight. And Father, again, as always, I pray that we'll be receptive and responsive. Father, tonight, I know that there are many, many struggles in the hearts and the lives of your people. We're all struggling in different ways about different issues. And I pray, Father, that you'll just help us, that we can look to you and trust you in all things, and that we'll get answers maybe tonight, Father, for questions that we have. And Father, we'll get strength for the journey ahead, of burdens that we're bearing, whatever it may be. But Father, I pray that we can leave this place different. Lord, may it be the beginning of something different in our lives, something new, something refreshing and energizing, and Father, something that is effective to a world that's around us. Again tonight, Father, please have your way in all that is done, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. This verse of scripture came to my mind, a week or two ago. And it's one of those that just kind of lays there and really resonates kind of in my heart. And I just feel like I want to share it with you, and tonight's a good time for us to do that. Here tonight we have Peter is involved, Peter and John. You'll have to go back, and I'm not going to go back and read, but you'll have to pick up the whole story in the third chapter of the book of Acts, and you'll find that it involves the healing of the lame man who had been blind or who had been lame from his mother's womb, and laid at the gate called Beautiful, and how that they healed him. And that's kind of the masquerade, or kind of the forefront of what this really is all about. It's not really about that. They're teaching Jesus. They're teaching in his name. That's not good in their eyes. And so they're being persecuted and they're being questioned. And in the midst of all the questions, God works. In the midst of all of the questions, God strengthens and God amazes those who care to look. Again, the 13th verse really just hangs there in my mind. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That's the part right there I want you to notice. They took notice of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, I don't want to say this tonight, what I'm about to say. I don't want to say this in any way that's disrespectful or dishonoring to God, but the thought on my mind tonight is, who are you hanging out with? Who are you hanging out with? Because it really does matter. And I know you'll say, well, preacher, Jesus is not here in the flesh, and I'll agree with you, he's not. But we as believers have the Spirit of God dwelling within us, and you and I are very much influenced by the influences around us. We are easily impressed with the things that are going on, and people call people today influencers, and we give a stage to anybody. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. I don't get a lot of news and I don't watch a lot of television. But buddy, it don't matter who you are, you can get a stage. The wackier, the weirder, you'll get a stage. And what has to happen is that you and I've got to be careful who we hang out with. Now, the Bible says here that Peter and John had wrought this great miracle upon this lame man who had been lame from his mother's womb. And there's a lot of turmoil that happens about that, but I'm going to just really look at the fourth chapter here in the first 12 verses previous to this, and I'll go quickly, but I'm going to read it. The Bible says, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved. Notice here's the reason. Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. That's what really had people aggravated. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. So again, I want you to notice that even in the midst of persecution, even in the midst of trouble, that God still yet gets the glory and works in people who are genuinely attentive and interested, and who are paying attention to the things of God or the things that are being taught of God. The Bible said here that these that heard the word, the number of them was about 5,000, and it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. These men, when they spoke, the Bible says that they took notice of Peter and John. the boldness that they had. And that verse, in verse number 13, and I'm going to read it a couple more times. But in verse number 13, there are some things that are given to us here that are, to me, very interesting for us to consider tonight. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, that was the key element that caused them to take notice of them. Have you noticed our preachers today? I'm just going to take a side note. I'm going to go off here on the shoulder of the road, and I'm just going to talk about this a moment. Have you noticed our preachers today? Boy, they're a bunch of wimps. And I can say that because I'm a preacher. Where is the boldness in the pulpit today? We act like we're trying to win friends. We act like we're trying to persuade people to believe an opinion that we're promoting. We act like we're trying to, be my buddy. Here, consider this. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that God calls on our logical mind to consider the Word of God and to let it sink into our hearts. But I'm going to tell you, the Word of God is not up for consideration or analysis. It's the Word of God. Like it or not. Take it or leave it. It doesn't change the Word of God. Now, I'm not trying to pick on preachers, but I'm going to tell you, these men were men of God. These men were preachers of the Word. These men were apostles. And we find that the Bible says that in the midst of this persecution, they were not whimpering. They were not backpedaling. They weren't saying, now, look, honk, look, buddy, come on now. You know, we ain't trying to cause no problems. They just simply stood and proclaimed Christ, Him crucified, and them sinners, and let the chips fall where they fell. And the Bible says that they did it boldly. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that we ought to be arrogant, but I am saying that you ought to be bold. Not only preachers, but the people of God ought to be bold. Don't whimper when you witness. Don't backpedal when you're telling someone about Jesus or you're inviting someone to the house of God. Don't cringe and crawl into a shell. The Bible says these men had boldness, and when they saw that boldness, look at the rest of this. This tells us a lot about Peter and John. I don't know that any of us would want to be categorized as these boys are or described as they are, but the Bible says that they had boldness and they perceived that they were unlearned. Well, we don't like that one, wouldn't we? We like to be considered intellects, theological minds, great minds of knowledge. And yeah, I'm being facetious, but we do like that, don't we? We like to promote our degrees, and we like to promote our education, and we like to promote, you know, look at me. I know some things. Not these guys. The Bible says that they looked at these men, and they perceived that they were unlearned. And now that's not bad enough that you get called unlearned, but the Bible calls them ignorant. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled. Why did they marvel? Because they were so ignorant? Because they were so unlearned? No! They marveled because they stood and they proclaimed truth in boldness, though they were ignorant and unlearned in the eyes of the Pharisees and the eyes of the Sadducees, and they knew nothing. They had no degree, they had no education, but they knew Christ and had been in His presence. I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on what we know rather than who we know. Now, you know, sometimes in our society, and I probably shouldn't say this, but it's the truth, and I ain't trying to make anybody mad, but I ain't backpedaling. Sometimes our society is very messed up. Rather than, you know, it can be corporations, it can be government situations and government entities, it can be a lot, just about anything out there in society. And sadly, when it comes to a lot of times, and I've had this in my work experience, you know, the orders come down from headquarters, and the orders come down from headquarters from somebody's desk who's never done a day's work in their life. And what you have is that you have knowledge coming down that cannot be implemented because it just doesn't. It looks good on paper, but it's not practical. It does not work. And then, on the other hand, it can be turned around. You can have ignorance that just simply cannot accomplish. Now, the Bible says that these men, they were marveled because these men were unlearned and ignorant, and they marveled. They had no theological degree. They had no training. They had no experience in the synagogue. They had no background in which the world would stand in awe of these men and say, let's listen to what they've got to hear. You know, I heard that Brother So-and-so, Dr. So-and-so is going to be speaking, and I'm going to go over there and listen to what Brother Dr. So-and-so's got to say. Well, there was no proclamation for an audience to appear that night, but the Bible says that these men simply stood up and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they began to preach and they began to proclaim. And when they did, it was their ignorance and it was the fact that they were unlearned that caused them to be such a spectacle in the eyes of those who were learned, because they said there is no way that these guys can speak and be the orators that they are and speak the knowledge that they have if they have not been with Jesus. That's my focus tonight. I'm not trying to bash knowledge. I'm not trying to bash education. I'm not trying to bash anything tonight. Sometimes the good old boy system gets in the way in our world today, and it messes a lot of things up. It does in religion as well. And the Bible said that these men stood back and they looked at them and they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Why'd they have boldness? Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who are you hanging out with? I don't want to let you forget my thought tonight. Who are you hanging out with? And here's what I want you to take away from verse number 13 as well. They didn't have to ask them, who you guys been hanging out with? What school did you go to? Who's your professors? The Bible said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow. Those guys have been with Jesus. They've been hanging out with Him. You know, we hang out with folks. Do you know that? Sure you know that. Some of you got friends, and I'm not getting on your friends tonight. I'm just simply saying that the friends and the people that you hang out with influence you. They influence me. What's very important that I understand and I make sure that who I hang out with are good influences, because if they don't, it becomes very evident who I've been hanging out with. You know what I'm talking about. Somebody starts gossiping or somebody starts talking like, you ever seen anybody influence somebody else? They start talking like them. I'm not talking about even gossiping, but they start picking up their slang. They start picking up their phrases. Well, you've been hanging out with such and such. You're talking just like them. Wasn't that what was said about Peter? Peter was hanging out around the fire, and you're one of His. Even your speech betrays you. And here the Bible says that these men, it was evident to them that they had been, and again, I don't want to be disrespectful to Scripture, but I want to give you something to hang on to this week. It was evident to them that they had been hanging out with Jesus. They had been with Christ. And what brings boldness? I understand the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that's evident. What brings that boldness? What brings that evidence of saying, you know what? That person's been with Jesus. Couple of things that I want to share with you tonight. I believe that when you hang out with Jesus and when you are in the presence of Jesus, you're going to learn His person. You're going to learn Him. Not about Him. You're going to learn Him. And folks, many times that's where we're missing. That's where we're missing the origin or the foundation, the cornerstone of our relationship and the cornerstone of our witness, because we're not spending enough time with Jesus that we know His person. And I'm going to say this tonight with all the love of my heart, but I am going to say it tonight. Sometimes that's why we have to have bumps in the roads of our life. Do you understand that? Man, I mean, you're flying super speed down the highway of your life and everything is just rosy and blossom, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, you're going to hit a pothole. Boom, boom. And you get sick. Something happens in your life and your marriage goes awry. Somebody in your family gets sick and maybe even passed away. And sometimes we have to hit those bumps in the road so that the Lord can call us away from life and say, learn me. Learn me. Don't learn about me. Learn me. I love you. You forgot me. You've been too busy living and running and going and enjoying my blessings that you've forgotten me. And I have to slow you down so you learn of my person. I love you. I will heal you. I will restore you. I will restore your marriage. I will restore your children. I will hear your prayers. I will comfort you in grief. You have to know His person. And I don't know tonight where this is going, but there are an awful lot of preachers. I started there, but there are preachers have gotten very timid in the demonstration and the declaration of the Word of God and of God Himself. But there are also many Christians sitting in the pew who have gotten very timid in their faith. You look at us today and you wonder, I wonder sometimes, who are we hanging out with? How are you today? You all think I'm silly. My fantastic's still going, and I'm glad it is. How in the world can you get up in the morning and be anything less than fantastic, child of God? Preacher, because my back hurts. Well, guess what? I got stuff that hurts too. But I'm saved. Thank God, and I know I am. And every ache and pain and sorrow that I've got is temporary. And everything that I've got to go through in this life, I know I do not and will not go through it alone. When I'm in the midst of my darkest valleys, I know that when I don't have the strength to take another step, I know that my God will be there, and I know that my God will carry me when necessary. I know that. I know He won't fail me, and I know He'll never forsake me, and I know that He's faithful. How can you be anything less than fantastic? God woke me up this morning. Got me up. I walked into a store this week, and the gentleman asked me, he said, how are you? I said, I'm fantastic. And I said, how are you? And he started the, you know, I'm okay, doing pretty good. And I left and had to go back a little later. And I walked in and he said, I'm good. Good, I'm glad you're good. Get fantastic. Let me tell you how to be fantastic. You got to know His person. Then you got to understand His sovereignty. And I mean that in the right sense. You know I'm not a Calvinist, and you know how I mean this. God is in complete control. God is not superimposing every decision of my life, every choice that I make. That's not what I'm talking about when I'm mentioning the sovereignty of God. God is in total control. There is no one who's going to take him from the throne. There is no one who is going to usurp his authority. There is no one who is going to outwit him. God is in control. And when I understand that and I include that with his person, that God is God, and I understand his love and his mercy and his faithfulness and his compassion, and then I understand that God is sovereign and no one is ever going to dethrone him. Look, this is not a political battle that we're involved in where I'm trying to submit to you my platform and you're trying to submit to me your platform and we're trying to see which one is the best. No. There is no platform to submit. We have truth from God. This is what God has said about it. And we do well to just simply understand that this is what God has said, and we have sovereign truth before us. We just simply need to proclaim it to a world around us. Why should I be afraid? Why should you be afraid? If the Lord allows, you are going to get up in the morning and you are going to go about your life, whatever that means. You're going to go to work. You're going to go to your place of business. You're going to go to whatever it is that you do. You're going to go raise your children, whatever your day entails. Some of you are going to go through the day tomorrow and you're going to say, well, I'd like to tell somebody about Jesus, but you're afraid. Maybe your work environment is not conducive so that they encourage you to tell people about Jesus. And you're afraid of your job, but yet the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart and saying, speak to that person, speak to your coworker, tell somebody about Jesus. Let your story be told. What am I going to do? It's better for me to obey men than God, or God than men. And when I understand the sovereignty of his truth, that I have absolutely truth. This is not an opinion bounced back and forth. This is truth. It's not about, as I said this morning, it's not about choosing one of the million ways to get to heaven. There is one way. I even read that to you tonight, verse number 12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's one. Now, why should I be afraid to tell that? Why should I be afraid to proclaim that? Because I know his person, and I know the sovereignty of his truth, and I know that his truth is unchanging. And here, I guess I can best sum up what I'm trying to say in this point right here. It doesn't matter what you say or you think or you do against the truth of God, you can't change it. I'm not trying to be facetious with that. I'm not trying to be arrogant with that. That's the honest to goodness truth. I can't change it. There is nothing I can do. I look at that book and I say, I don't like that. Well, too bad. Too bad, Derry. You don't like it? Too bad. What are you going to do about it? Well, I'll just get my penknife and I'll cut that out and I'll throw it in the fire. It don't matter. The manuscript's written in heaven. All God has to do is rewrite it down in another copy. You ain't changing a thing. Moses came off the mountain, was mad as he could be, and he broke the tables. And you know what God said? Write it again. You didn't change a thing. Just rewrite it. Put it down again. When we understand the truth is unchanging and the sovereignty of God, and then I want to finish with this tonight. Here's the truth of God. God's not out to do you hurt. Though he will if he has to. God's not out to hurt you. God's out to bless you. God wants to save you if you're here tonight and you're lost. God wants to save your soul from eternal damnation, from a devastating debt that nothing else and no one else can get you out of. God wants to release you from that. God loves you. God gives mercy and grace now. Now, that's one of the things that just really breaks my heart about people and their understanding, their perspective of God. It's like, when you get to talking about God or preaching God or promoting God in any way, people look at it and say, it's almost like it's evil. You know, I don't want anything to do with that. Listen, it's mercy and grace. God didn't even have to tell you about your sin, your unbelief, but he did. God didn't have to provide for you a way of escape, but he did. God didn't have to send somebody by your way to tell you about this good, good way, but he did. And mercy and grace has come to me. And the last thing I want to share with you is this tonight. And for those who reject this mercy and grace, judgment is to come. Judgment is to come. There will come a time. There will come the time when all men are going to stand before God. Redeemed will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. The lost will stand at the great white throne judgment. Those who are redeemed will stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will have our lives tried by the fire. Whatever comes through the fire, the gold, the silver, the precious stone, we're going to receive reward for it, and whatever the wood, the hay, and the stubble is going to be burnt up, and we're going to suffer the loss. And then, for those who stand at the great white throne judgment, listen to me, I don't care how, you may be the best person, listen to what I'm about to say, you may be the best person at the great white throne judgment, the most moral, the most religious, the best neighbor in the world to have lived by, but lost. And you will hear him say, I never knew you. Now that's the whole story tonight, folks. That's the whole story. Grace has come, grace and mercy. God tells us of his love and his mercy and his grace toward us. We have grace and mercy sufficient for us as we live our daily life. Think about this tonight before I finish. Does anybody here not have trouble? Not have trouble. I don't see one hand in this congregation raised. So everybody has trouble. Now, you had the choice of either going through your trouble without God or with God. And we probably all have gone through trouble without God before we got saved. And now we find ourselves going through trouble with God. And you tell me, which one of those is the better option? With God. How in the world do people make it who do not have him to depend on? Don't go to the throne, cannot get to the throne, have absolutely no way to obtain grace, mercy and find grace to help in time of need. They're just living their lives, doing their thing. These men stood there and looked at Peter and John, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and the Bible says that they preached unto them this Christ that you crucified. And after that short little sermon that they delivered, they said, look at these ignorant and unlearned men. They don't know nothing. From our eyes, they know absolutely nothing. They don't know what they're talking about. They have no book education. They have no degree. But they've been with Jesus. They've been hanging out with him. You know what? I think that'd be a pretty good epitaph to go on a tombstone, don't you? When life is all over with, just put down there, he hung out with Jesus. That'd be pretty good. Man, that'd be a statement for life, wouldn't it? He just hung out with Jesus. Who are you hanging out with? Well, preacher, I'm hanging out with Jesus. Oh, no. You misunderstand my question. You see, they didn't ask these fellows, who you been hanging out with? This was a statement. They looked at them and listened to them and saw their boldness and perceived their character. And they said, they have been hanging out with Jesus. They have been with Christ. Who do those around you say you've been hanging out with? The wrong crowd? The devil himself? You know, I honestly think I've known some folks that hung out with the devil himself. Or are they saying they've been with Jesus? Man, wouldn't that be, what? Don't you want that tonight? You don't have to answer me, but just think about that. What a tremendous statement that the world could look at my life, not just now and then, but look at my life and say, he's been with Jesus. Not a long time ago in salvation, not just the fact that he's been saved, but he's been with Jesus today. He's with Jesus yesterday. He has been with Jesus. Come on, Ben, let's have an invitation song. Musicians, would you please come?